back from Armenia, a pilgrimage and the opening of the Sasnashen Youth Center. Wow, back already? It just seems like yesterday. Well, it was yesterday. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting dots, looking at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 591 of The Next Step. I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Voskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I was going to have a hard time picking where to start from, but it became so obvious this morning. Hey, I'm glad to be back in front of this microphone, back from Armenia. Yeah, I don't know, I just like recharged, energized. And there's so much I need to share with you. And I was debating which one of the stories, where do we begin, where do we start? And then, wow, did you catch that on the news? So apparently this police officer goes into her neighbor's house by mistake, thinking it's hers, and she shoots this man who lives there. I guess she figured that the guy was intruding into her house, and she kills the man, and she is sentenced to 10 years. There's a lot of people who are upset about this. Obviously, somebody, an innocent man, lost his life. And they're saying that the punishment does not fit the crime. Like if it was roles were reversed, if it wasn't this white woman hitting this black man, if it was a black man hitting a white woman, it would not have been a 10-year sentence, they're saying. And this kind of talk has become standard fare in so much of what's going on here in America, these comparisons. But then something unusual happened in that courtroom. And I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. I need you to watch this because I got so choked up and it became obvious this is where we need to start off with. The victim, the man who passed away, who was shot, yeah, let's say it for what it is, the man who was shot, his brother, breaks down in the courtroom, tells the woman officer who shot him, "I love you," and then asks the judge if he can go and hug her. And in that embrace, in that hug, there is so much energy, there is so much love, there is so much passion, there is so much forgiveness. 18-year-old guy. I don't know. I don't want to talk more about it because it cheapens what happened. It's something that you need to see, to experience. Obviously, those who were there were dumbfounded, as you can imagine. Somebody shoots your brother, and you get up and you say, "I want to hug you." And I'm not doing it justice, obviously. It's not just, "Hey, I want to hug you." It's about forgiveness. It's that ultimate, ultimate love. I'm going to leave it at that. But I did want to mark that today in this next step, because it trumps everything else. I have returned back from Armenia, energized, renewed. We had the opening of our Sasnashen Youth Center over there. We spent 2 weeks just seeing some incredible, incredible places. Again, going to those vortex spots in Armenia where there's just energy. And I've returned and ready to share so much with you. And then you hear the story, you watch the story of forgiveness. And yes, it trumps everything else. Because you're talking about raw love, which is expressed vis-a-vis forgiveness, ultimate forgiveness. Let me leave it there. Check out our show notes. I'll put a link there to the video. It is a visual thing. You need to see it to understand what's going on, if you can understand it. I mean, it is just so moving. And I have to tell you, I've been very, very moved this last few weeks. I was in the monastery at Dativ, and in the presence of Saint Dativatsi, we were at his burial spot where his remains are. And I don't know, something comes over you and just broke down. It was moving beyond belief. So where do I begin? Well, we set off for Armenia on the 15th, got back on the 30th, exactly 15 days, went to some of the most ancient and sacred places of all Christianity. We prayed, we laughed, we sang, we experienced, that's it. You've got to experience this. Anyway, pretty wild time. But I'm going to start off. This is where I decided I want to start off, because there's a lot I'm going to tell you about, including the opening of the In Issues Sasnashen Youth Center. And that's coming up. I'll do that during the second half of today's show. But I do have to start off with this, because this is where we left off. If you remember the last live podcast that we did, because the last two podcasts, what we did is sort of like a best of and a review to compensate for us being out on the road. So if you remember, the last one was about exaltation of the Holy Cross. And I shared with you about this extremism, right? Exaltation, this excitement about when you're in the presence of the cross, that exaltation, lifting it up. Well, man, I got to Armenia, and I'm walking through the Maden Ataran. That's when it hit me. It was literally on the first day we were there. No, excuse me, the first day of our tour. Okay, so the way it worked out, Susan, myself, and my sister Sona, three of us went via Moscow and got there a day early so I could set things up for the rest of the group to come. We had about 27, 28 people in our entire group. So I needed to get there a day early. So we're there a day early. But the first day with the entire tour, we were in the Maden Ataran. Now, this is this wild place, because they don't tell you everything. But fortunately, I've been around. And I know that they built this thing inside of this mountain to withstand even nuclear holocaust. Yes, human life can be spared, but these books, you can't touch them. So anyway, they've got these manuscripts. It's the warehouse of the manuscript, the museum of the manuscripts. And last year when we went, about a year ago, we actually went to the background, to the back offices, and saw the work that they did. I think I shared this with you, but one of the most fascinating things about the back room of the Maden Ataran is that there is a long, long hallway. And like any hallway that needs decorating, you would put up pictures. So imagine a long hallway that leads to the offices. And on the left side is just a wall. The right side, each of them are the small little areas where the work is done on the manuscripts. So they have these ancient manuscripts from, 12th century, 7th century, 6th century. And they work on the actual paper and actual material by cleaning it, by making sure that, you know, it can stand another 15 centuries. So what do you suppose is on the wall? How do they decorate that wall with pictures of spores, of fungi? Yeah. It's wild. They have magnified pictures of the spores of the fungus that is found on the papers that they've taken out. I mean, basically pictures of their enemy, right? It was wild, pretty wild. Okay, so I'm in the Madena Taran on the first day that we're there with the tour, and that's when it just like hits me. And it was good that it happened on the first day because it was a continuous theme throughout my entire 2 weeks over there. The idea of extremism. That's what I left you off with. I talked about the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And you know what? If you didn't hear that, put a pause in this one. Go back to that one. Let's see. What would that be? 588. Episode number 588 of The Next Step, where we talked about the Holy Cross. And just listen to what was being said about the idea of hysteria, about the idea of, you know, being fanatic. And I talked about some of the negativity of fanaticism. But think about this. When you see these volumes, I mean, you're looking at ancient manuscripts that were handwritten, an entire Bible from beginning to end. And not just written in longhand, but written in script. And each page decorative. Each page using paints from oils, from plants that you can't even imagine. Some of which don't even exist today. But remarkable as it may be, as it may seem, here it is 1500 later, 1500 years later, and you're seeing that the paint has withstood the test of time. I mean, they're vibrant colors. And you realize that here's a monk, here's somebody who has given his or her life to that work, to that one volume. In other words, spent an entire lifetime. What do you call that? What is that called? How about fanaticism? How about extremism? Obsession? Think about it. We think of fanaticism in a negative way. But don't you need that kind of focus and that kind of extremism to have some of these monumental works done? I mean, we're inside of Gellert, a mountain that has been hollowed out to create this chapel, to create this church. What kind of fanaticism goes in there? How about on Lake Sevan, an island? You've built a monastery on an island. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, we don't have modern equipment. These were done like, you know, 1600 years ago. Yeah, 6th century, 7th century. What are we talking about? People putting stone on top of stone? Bricks on top of bricks? No, that's not the right word. It's not bricks. These are stones. These are huge. One on top of the other. Creating arches that will carry the weight of the roof. Zalkazor. You go out there. You go to Dateb Monastery. Middle of nowhere. In the mountains. One right after the other, you'd see these. And what are they reflecting? Extremism. Fanaticism. People who are so genuine about their faith that they're giving their entire life for this one single project. I'm going to copy the book of Psalms. I'm going to copy the Gospels. I'm going to dedicate it to God. And I'm going to give my life to it. I'm going to take a chisel and carve a stone into a kachkar, a cross stone. And yeah, you know what? It's not going to take me 2 days. It's going to take me, no, not even 2 years. It's going to take me my lifetime, but I'm going to give my life to that. What is that? Extremism? Is it borderline craziness? Or is it what we have forgotten about? A dedication, a true dedication. We have created fanaticism into something that conjures up images of Looney Tune people. And, you know, rightly so. Looney Tune people who will get off on these little soapboxes and talk about things that are completely irrelevant in life. And we say, oh, they're fanatics. But what about the real fanatics who loved God so much that they did everything that they could to show their love? In a couple hours, I'm going to be going over to the YWCA. I've been asked to give the closing remarks on their annual domestic violence vigil. This is something very dear to my heart, important in my life. I've been involved with domestic violence projects for several years, and this candlelight vigil I remember from the infancy stages. And October has been designated as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so I'm going to be going and speaking there this evening. I'm very honored when they ask me in Glendale, especially to give the closing, because it's very important that people leave, empowered people leave there, understanding that this is not just an evening, but an ongoing vigil that you're going to be carrying. So as I thought about my comments, I'm going to reflect on a story that happened just about 5 years ago. I was in Glendale when this unfolded, and I happened to be there when it happened. So, in other words, in the aftermath of it, a Armenian-American woman, having been held captive for 20 or 25 years by her husband as a sex slave, severely beaten, victim of domestic violence, like, you know, textbook. She finally finds an opportunity to escape and the courage to do so. And she leaves at night, and she goes door to door. Now, you got to remember, in Glendale, high concentration of Armenian Americans, so she's knocking on people's door, on her neighbors' doors, on her friends' doors, relatives' doors. She's knocking on them. She needs in. She needs help. And one right after the other, they refuse her. They tell her things like, go back home. It's amot, or what we call shameful, that you should do this to your husband. What will people say? Go and try to reconcile. Basically saying, grin and bear it. This is what life has thrown out at you. Go and deal with it. And would you believe that that took about 15 minutes? She's going from house to house till she finally gets to an African-American woman who opens the door, sees her situation, tends to her, and calls the police. And that's when we learned about it. We were running the Dativ outreach at that time, and we got the call. But here's what I wanted to share with you. It's this African-American woman who stands up and does what is right. Now, does that story sound familiar? It should. In the Christian tradition, we have a story very similar to this. It was offered by Jesus as a parable. A man who was beaten by robbers, and a priest goes by him and can't help, doesn't help. And well, he does. He might have said a prayer. That's important, right? Yeah. And a man of the law, somebody who knows what's written in scripture, knows the laws, and man of a means goes by. Well, maybe he had some place to get to. He didn't help him. But it was what was called a Samaritan, an outcast, somebody who had already been prejudged by the people, prejudiced by the people. One you wouldn't expect that goes and tends to this man's wounds and puts him up and takes care of him. You know that story, right? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And here's what I wanted to share with you. People will labor, will talk about the Samaritan, who the Samaritan is, where the Samaritans lived, what their relationship was to the Jewish people, where their land was, all the while missing the point that this is not about a Samaritan. It's about doing the right thing. Jesus offered this as an answer to a question, who is my neighbor? And he pointed out that it's the person who does the right thing. Somebody who you might have been prejudiced towards, but does the right thing. I mention this because in the same way when we talk about religion and faith, we get fanatic about the wrong things, about small little items, picking and choosing different passages from the Bible that condemn certain types of people and others, instead of understanding that it's not about the Samaritan, it's about who is my neighbor that is being asked. In the same way, it's not about that religion and about the faith and the judgment. It's about doing the right thing, being fanatic about that love that you have towards God. Yeah, it's important. These people were fanatics. That's what I saw throughout Armenia, everywhere that I went. The people who had made those monasteries, who had developed the language system, who had developed the alphabet, the ones who had carried those boulders, the ones who had written those volumes and volumes, painstakingly doing letter by letter and made these beautiful works of art. Each one of them was a fanatic. Everyone who took a chisel and broke into a rock and created these huge, huge cross stones. And let me tell you something, you can't make a mistake in that, by the way. You can't. At some point, you got to realize that this is it. Painstakingly. And when you look at the intricate designs, these were fanatics. What I'm saying is fanaticism is okay and it is good when you're focused on what the bottom line is. Can you share your creativity and your love? Fanaticism is wrong. Yeah, I'm saying it. It's a value statement. Yeah, you're welcome to accept it or not, but this is what we teach in Armadoxy. It is wrong when it is for the wrong reason. In other words, when it's for the sake of putting people down, for claiming yourself higher than others, for proving who you are in the sight of God, when the only one that can do that is God. In that sense, we use fanaticism. I'm challenging you to look at fanaticism as a means by which you can really focus all of your energy on what is really important, the love that's out there. So, back from Armenia, went through all kinds of places, saw a lot of fanatic behavior in these monuments, in these witnesses to the love that we have towards God. Each one of them becomes a monument towards faith. You look at it and you go, wow. I know you've been following along. We've been posting stuff on our website, on our social media pages. I hope you've been following. If not, do spend some time and take a look. When I come back after the song of the day, I'm going to share with you some of the more fun things that took place. Not that this wasn't fun, but I wanted to start off with that whole idea about, because I kept seeing it over and over from the first day on, from the Modern Ataran all the way to every place we went. It was this fanaticism in the good sense. It was this fanaticism that was the exaltation of life. You know, celebration of life. And that's something that we need to point to. Okay, song of the day. I'm picking out something called Nazeli by Haigyaljan. Yeah, Nazeli. Doesn't get any better. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. Haig Yazjan doing Nazeli. I hope you enjoyed that. I kind of wanted to play something a little bit traditional, a little bit modern. Armenia is really that place where you just take some of the modern, you take some of the old, put it together in a mystical and magical way, and it works for you. And if it works for you, you know that, well, you know that this is one of those experiences that changes you. Several years ago, I remember when I ran my first pilgrimage, it took a group of people. I was challenged by a lady who runs, well, anyway, I was challenged in the middle, on the streets of Yerevan, by a lady who came up to me and said that, why do you take people to these monuments, to these churches? Why don't you take them over to all the fun things that are happening in Armenia, namely this particular industry, this particular winery, so on and so on? Yes, definitely. It is exciting right now to see Armenia flourish and get to a place economically, and especially since the Velvet Revolution. But let me tell you something. Without that spiritual part, that spiritual component, the rest of it doesn't come together. You don't realize it's part and parcel of everything that you've done. That's what I'm going to talk about in the second portion of today's show. We're going to talk about what else we experienced. Well, let me first ask you, did you miss me? Did you miss me? It's been like 2 weeks. I missed you. I missed this audience. But that being said, I was just surprised how many people we ran into over there in Armenia who are followers, listeners, watchers of the videos. In fact, one of them just blew my mind. I mean, it's humbling in a sense because one of the most sacred spots for me was Dativ. It's up in the hills. And the Abbot Father who came out just comes out and says, oh, yeah, I know you. Watch your videos. I'm going, how do they get this stuff up there? Where's the electronics? But it was just such a sincere and beautiful expression. Over and over, we'd go into these churches, and basically my calling card has been the videos and this next step. In the middle of St. Gregory the Illuminator, right in Yerevan, I get pulled over by a guy from Texas, of all places. Yeah, big shout out to Isaac. Thank you for that. That little introduction in the middle of the church. It was beautiful. Comes up and he says, yeah, listen to the next step. And we struck up a conversation. It's amazing. It's amazing. On the plane coming home, we're just like on the plane and some lady catches my eye from the other side. Oh, I know you. And comes over and we start talking. So that being said, I hope you missed me. I mean, I missed you. I'm telling you straight out. Well, how much more symbiotic do you want to get? Anyway, we are sitting in the middle of Yerevan and enjoying just so much, including some of this fanatic stuff that I told you. But here's something interesting. There was like Armenian writing, and you try to make it out. It's Armenian letters, so you know it's Armenian. But the words aren't. The words aren't Armenian. And like you're reading Armenian letters and you're saying something else. I guess it's akin to what many in the Armenian church are familiar with, and I think in many of the ethnic churches, what we call the transliteration. Something I deplore. I mean, you know, the easiest way is just learn the letters, but instead we have all these ways, like we put a K and an H together and we get a I don't know, you really don't get a ch, you get a k. But anyway, we do that, right? We transliterate. With English letters, we write Armenian words. So this was the exact opposite thing unfolding in the middle of Yerevan. What am I talking about? For instance, a little sign with a cute little elephant catches my eye. It says, Orange Elephant. Armenian letters, but the words orange elephant. Now, it's interesting because, you know, okay, maybe orange, it's unique word, and even in the Armenian is narinch, and okay, sounds like it. But elephant? Can we come up with pir, the Armenian word for it? How about this one? I'm looking at the letters. They're Armenian letters, but they're spelling out something in English. Good fish. Now, good, you can, you know, obviously Armenian has word for good. Whether you want to say love, you want to say pari, has a word for fish, tsug. Love, tsug. I don't know. I guess you could do it. But instead it says good fish. Okay, so here's my question. Who are these signs for? I mean, this is not just two, this is just literally two small examples. It's everywhere. It's prevalent everywhere. Everywhere you turn your head, you see these signs. Florist, spelled out in Armenian letters. Florist. Oh, yeah, I know what florist is. But here's the question. Who are these signs for? Okay, so if you are an Armenian person living there, and you read this, good fish, what are you supposed to think? Unless you know English, that really doesn't mean anything. I guess it's like, you know, the word Kleenex, right? We know what it is, but it's a Kleenex. That's what the word is. Doesn't really mean anything. So I guess good fish would be something like that. So if you're Armenian speaking, you don't know English, you read this, you go good fish. So you remember that that's a good fish, not necessarily a good fish. Are you with me? Okay, now, how about if people say, well, we're catering to the non-Armenians who are in the city, for them to come and buy their fish from us. Okay, now let's follow that one out. The non-Armenian who doesn't read Armenian, right? What's he going to read? Good fish in what language? It's in Armenian. So it doesn't even make sense. I asked around. I was kind of puzzled by this. And one of the explanations I got, it's called Odara Molutun. Okay, a love for an obsession with the foreign. In other words, by writing in English, we feel like we have elevated our status. Yeah. Because it has to do with self-worth issues, with identity issues, and so on. So this was just a little small little phenomena that I had seen in the past, but kind of like really hit me. This time, like, who are these words for? And I kept finding different things, you know, like the orange elephant. One of my favorite was right across from the hotel. It was called Pink Berry. Yeah, Pink Berry ice cream. Literally, Armenian letters spelling out the word Pink Berry. Okay. We accepted it. Well, it has been months now that I've been sharing with you the story about Sasnashen. And I'm not going to go into the details. You know it, the shoot down, 1958, an American U.S. Air Force C-130 was shot down in a village called Sasnashen, right near the border of Turkey and Armenia, what was then the Soviet Union. And if you check out our show notes today, definitely I'll just put links to the entire story because I've spoken quite a bit about it. But let's fast forward now to this trip, why we went. We went to Armenia to actually physically open and launch a new program, which is the Sasnashen Youth Center. And that's going to be in Tallinn. The town of Tallinn happens to be about 10 kilometers from Sasnashen. Sasnashen has a population of about 700 total. Tallinn, the town, has about 4,000 total. Depressed economy has a lot of the male population heading up towards Russia to find employment. And so you've got this, in this depressed economy as well, you've got the situation with young people not having male role models, males in the town. There's all kinds of social issues going on over here. And I cold called a priest, Father Tade Takhmazyan, who is the priest in Tallinn, and told them that, hey, we want to do a youth center up that way, specifically in Sasnashen. And he was very honest with me. He said that, you know, in Sasnashen, that's only one of 10 different villages, he says, and they all feed into this area called Tallinn. So, like I said, long story short, we got up there, met with people, and this trip, we went to open it up. Do check out the links I've put on the show note. You could read all about it. And, of course, you go back to a few of the earlier podcasts we have. If we can, we'll put those links, too. Just check it out. A lot of good stuff. So, this trip, we went up to Tallinn. A beautiful drive because it happens to be right along the border. And you see Mount Ararat right next to you on the left side of your car, of your bus. We went up with a bus, about 30 of us. And Father Tade gave me the opportunity to celebrate the Holy Divine Liturgy on that Sunday. It was September 29th, which happened to also be the Feast of Varak, Varakahach. And this is a unique feast to the Armenian Church. It also happens to be the day on which I was ordained. So we call that an Uhti Badarak. In other words, a divine liturgy where the priest is celebrating as part of his vow. And so on the 37th anniversary of my ordination, I was able to celebrate the Holy Divine Liturgy right there in a town called Tallinn, at the Holy Astvazadzin, Mother of God Church. And what a beautiful, beautiful and humbling experience to be in that ancient church, but a beautiful experience because you hear these beautiful sounds and you realize that, you know, for a few hundred years, the prayers, the incense that is just absorbed in the walls are all around you. Now, this isn't an ancient church. This happens to be, like I said, a couple hundred years old in the town. And let's see, during the Divine Liturgy, I was assisted by Father Hartertun, who happens to be the leader of the pilgrimage that was going up to Armenia. So we kind of like piggybacked on it. Between him and myself, we were able to take about 30 people with us to Armenia, did the pilgrimage, and here we were on the last day in the town of Tallinn, sharing in the Divine Liturgy. And you know, this is the message that I had. I want to share it with you because it just, there was something that bothered me throughout Armenia this entire trip. And by the way, we did see Pashinyan. He just completely, by fluke chance, Susan and I were in the lobby of the Ramada Inn having a cup of coffee when all of a sudden some bomb-sniffing dogs came in. Next, we saw a little higher presence of police, Secret Service, and then all of a sudden, there he was. Nikol Pashinyan. Lot of excitement around him. And it was the day before he was heading out to Los Angeles where he came. So he came into my backyard and I was in his backyard. Kind of interesting, right? Well, at least for me, okay? Anyway, that's besides the point. But this is what was bothering me. We have somehow delivered Armenia and the Armenian church without Christ to the people. This is what I mean by this. You go to these holy shrines, for instance. You go to Oshagan. There are the remains of Mesrop Mashtots. You are told the story about the beautiful 36 letters that were invented by Mesrop Mashtots. Yeah. That's it. You're told them, and this is the reason why we have Armenian culture, and this is why we have. But we fail to give the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, which is, there's a reason why he invented that alphabet. Or you go and you see these marvelous churches you know, one brick on top of the other on an island or in the middle of a valley. As I said, this fanaticism, right? Earlier we were talking about that. Now, there's a reason why people have done that. Syed Nova, we talk about Syed Nova. What a great musician. Ooh, Syed Nova, how inspired he was, yeah. Did you know he was a priest? Yeah, Father Stepanos. Name was Father Stepanos. When things failed, he got into so much grief, and yet he found this opportunity to serve God. What was that all about? Gomi Das. Oh, we love to talk about him. Yeah, look at our dioceses. Look at the material that comes out of the Armenian church from the diocese. We still refer to him as Gomi Das. He's a priest. And as a priest, you know what? He believed in Jesus Christ. And so my sermon on that Sunday was kind of an interesting one because I tied it in with the idea of the cross, the Armenian cross, because, you know, we have four different celebrations of the cross in the Christian, in the church. We have three of them. One of them is called the Elevation Exaltation, a big one. That's the main feast day. We have the discovery of the Holy Cross. We have the appearance of the Holy Cross. These are three that are celebrated by all the Christian denominations. Well, major, let's say, traditional denominations, the Roman Catholic, the Episcopal Church, the Orthodox Church. We Armenians have a fourth one called Varak. That's what this last Sunday was. And then on top of that, I added one more. I said, an Armenian cross is also about the White Massacre. And I talked about that, that, you know, we have come here as pilgrims, trying to escape that White Massacre. And that's just a very beautiful and elegant way of expressing that we are dying without the shedding of blood. It's not a Red Massacre. There's no blood involved. But slowly we are dying, and it's finishing off. So I talked about identity and the entire idea of our pilgrimage, why we have come out to this pilgrimage, to go to these sites. But what we have forgotten is that these sites have a purpose. There was a reason why we were built. They were built. And as I said a few minutes ago, yes, we have somehow successfully produced an Armenian church that is void of Christ. Not that intentionally we're trying to do something, but we've left Christ out of the conversation. There is a reason why these people, with all their difficulties, took these bricks, took these big stones, one on top of the other, and they constructed these huge monuments to God. What we call these churches, these monasteries. There's a reason why Mesrop Mashtots invented the Armenian alphabet. It was to translate the gospel of Jesus Christ for the Armenian people. And as a result, we had a language system, an alphabet, writing, and the 5th century became this golden age of literature. Culture started because we had the tools to write. Thank you, church. We have all this artwork that comes in the way of miniatures that comes from the church. People fanatically giving of themselves to the church. Why? Why did they do that? Why would you give up your life? Well, it was because of Christ. Jesus Christ. And you go through every story. You go through every valley, through every mountaintop in Armenia, and you find the story of Christ. You can't look at Armenia without Christ. You can't express Armenia without Christ. It's phenomenal. I want to talk more about this because I think it's very important. And when I say we've delivered the church without Christ, think about the stories that you hear. Think about the stories that you hear over and over and over again. You hear about the story of Hrebsime and Gayane. They refused to give up their faith. They were taken away. King Dertad got sick. Gregory the Illuminator was thrown into the pit. Hor Vidab. There he suffered for 13 years. He was taken out, cured the king. He was he accepted Christianity and made it the official religion of Armenia. First Christian nation. 301, they constructed Etchmiadzin. 303, and so on and so on. You hear stories of Vartan Mamigonian against the Persians. And we get caught up in all these details. How deep was the pit? What did he, you know, what were the conditions in there? Yeah, we were told that someone gave him food. But what was that food? Was it like every so often, you know, I know we need proteins, we need carbs, we need fats. Well, what was being given? Just bread and water for 13 years? Is that possible? See, and we get really caught up with all these details and forgetting about that, hey, it was because of a deep-seated fanatical faith in Jesus Christ that all of these things happened. And as a result, we became that first Christian nation. And we have put Christ in the front. We have throughout the centuries. And this is not debatable. It's just a matter of history. I know. People will say that, well, you know, that was the downfall. We shouldn't have done it. In fact, there are people right now that call Gregory not the Illuminator, but Gregory the Darkener. Because, you know, by bringing Christianity, we became this dark people. Failing to understand that, hey, without that, you wouldn't have even been around. Anyway, this is a bigger issue than you might think. It's very, very contemporary. But I know you as Next Step listeners are listening, you know, and you've been part of this ministry. You kind of get it. You know where this is coming from. It's a melding of spirit, of conscious, a melding of physical, in other words, the national aspirations, and so on and so on. And that's why I call it Armadoxy. Armadoxy is so important. It's not Orthodoxy. It's not Armenian Orthodoxy. It's actually what Armenian Orthodoxy can be. It's the church, it's the faith without all the hoopla. Yeah. And you cannot take Christ out of there. It hurts me to no end when you hear about so many churches. I mean, you know, go through the web, go on some of their sites. And it really hurts me. You cannot have another event Sunday morning besides the Divine Liturgy. You can't send your seniors off to Reno or Las Vegas. Because what you're saying is you're sending a signal out to people that, hey, I don't even believe in what I'm doing. You can't be identified by the foods that you make. I mean, I cannot believe. I mean, it's really absurd. The number of churches that identify with their food fairs, with their picnics. We have the best picnic in the greater area, county area, tri-county area. One of the great picnics of all time, food fairs. I mean, this is how we're identifying ourselves. What does it say about what we're doing? And same thing I felt like going through Armenia. We're hearing this beautiful guide who was telling us these stories, but it was absent of Christ. There is a reason why Haripsme and Gayane stood up. Why they were martyred. There was a reason why Etchmiadzin was built. There was a reason why Datevatsi prayed the way he did, cured the people he did, why Naregatsi's writings still talk to us today, centuries after the saint has left us, and so on and so on. There is a reason, because inside of these writings, these stones, these buildings, these alphabets, these vows, there was Christ. That's what I shared with the people on Varakachach on that Sunday. Now, from the church, we went across the street where the Mother Sea, Holy Etchmiadzin, owns a house. And they've given it to the priest, but it is in disrepair. It really, really needed some major overhaul. So we used this money to make this, paint it, buy some furniture, and that's the opening that we had. They had put up a nice little ribbon. We went and we cut the ribbon, and we entered it. And it was just very, very nice. The hospitality that they showed us, just to see the young children. And then we listened to the vision of the priest for what he wants to do, how he wants to bring the young people together and give them an opportunity of hope, of believing in themselves, of growing, of maturing, and understanding their participation within community, understanding themselves as children of God, children of this community. So he was very, very thankful. And you could just tell from what the way the priest spoke that this is going to be a very useful community center. So we held the opening of the community center, and Inner Shoes was the sponsor of this. What we did is we took it from, we went from Tallinn to the crash site in Sasnash, and about a 10-kilometer drive. There, Inner Shoes made an arrangement with one of the local villagers to entertain 30 people. We went to his house, and oh, you should see what a spread they put out. But even better than the spread was their hospitality. This villager calls over his family, and the kids get up and they dance. These beautiful, now this Sasnashen, as you could tell, if you speak Armenian, you kind of got the idea of what the town name means. Sasunsi is one of the freedom fighters, the true Armenian freedom fighters. After they left Western Armenia, they came into Eastern Armenia, and they settled in this area, that entire region around Tallinn. And this one town, village, is named after the Sasunsis. Sasnashen means the living Sasunsis. And so we were at their home, and they danced the dance of the Sasunsis. Wow! There's no other way to explain it, except that one word, three letters. Wow! It was so wild. It was so wild. They danced for us. We sang. And what was really fun for me was that a couple days earlier, we were driving in the bus, and one of our passengers, one of the ladies, asked for the microphone, and she led us in the singing of Seran Ne'arad. It's literally means the table is plentiful. And it is a popular song. Seran Ne'arad, Timats Nararad. It says that the tables are plentiful. Across from us is Mount Ararat looking at us. And I said that, you know, wow, this is a beautiful song. Words that we sing with passion because we believe in it. And so we're sitting here in this Sasnashen village at this Sasunsi table. And I got up to propose a toast. I said, you know, a few days earlier, we were in a bus. There was no plentiful table. There was no Mount Ararat. Today, we have this beautiful opportunity to sit here. And I asked that we sing it, and we did. And it was very, very, very moving to be sitting there in Armenia, in Sasnashen, singing this song, which says, the tables are plentiful across from us. Mount Ararat is looking down upon us. It's so poetic. It is so beautiful. And, of course, very moving. So I just wanted to share that with you. But more important, I wanted to just share with you that mission accomplished. We got there. We did the opening of that youth center. And this is a commitment that we want to have with this community in a way of supporting them in their needs so that Father Tade can spread his wings out, and why not expand on this? 10 villages he serves, one priest, and that means he needs to go out to each of these villages. Sometimes he has to hit, well, obviously because of the number, he has to hit all of them within a week. Sometimes he has to hit a few different villages in a day, and he's one man. And I know he, as well as this entire ministry and what we did with Sasnashen was made possible because of prayers. And that's where you come in. I know I took each and every one of you on this pilgrimage. Every one of you who was a partner in this ministry went along on this ministry with us, was in Sasnashen with us. We prayed together. We remembered you in some of the most holiest of shrines in all of Christendom. So I just needed to share this story with you. Now, this is just raw data at this point. We're going to be processing this. I am still hitting jet lag. You probably can tell by the way I'm slurring words, right? And believe me, I don't know what that's going to be when I get out to the YWCA in just about an hour, where I'm going to have to speak to a group of people. But anyway, God gives us the ability to do it. And I know you're with me. So I wanted to share that with you. We'll put a bookmark in it, okay, today. That's as far as we'll get today, and we'll continue next week on what we did. And there's going to be a lot of pictures and videos that I'll be sharing on social media as well. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you for all of you for your prayers. Like I said a few minutes ago, I took you all along for the ride, so we're all coming back from Sasnashen, from Armenia, and there is a lot we're going to be sharing with you. This is an ongoing project of In His Shoes, all the different things that we do. I want you to feel that you are partnering with us. You are part of this ministry, and I appreciate so much all of your support and your kind words. Listen, we're going to call it a day right now. We've kind of gone over the time limit, and we've got a long night ahead of us. I want to thank you for joining us. Next few Sundays, we will be in Fowler, California, at the St. Gregory the Illuminator Armenian Church there, celebrating the Divine Liturgy. Also next Tuesday, if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, I want to invite you to a very special conference that's taking place at the Western Diocese of the Armenian Church in Burbank. It's going to be about 20th century Armenian clergyman. I'm going to be making a presentation on His Holiness Vazgen I of blessed memory. That's Tuesday, all-day conference. Of course, admission is free. Let me end it there, thanking you very much. I know just as much as I'm tired, I'm sure Susie's tired, but it was great spending some time in Armenia, kind of collecting some ideas and thoughts about new avenues to explore with this ministry, and especially with the Next Step. So in a few minutes, she'll do her magic and get this off the ground and deliver it to you. Thank you for joining us. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put this together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week. And don't you forget that. This is an open invitation to take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance top visits.